Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength. Lord, thank you for keeping the doors open. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you, Lord, for your Son. Thank you, Father, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for your word, for the freedoms that we still have in this country. And I pray you, Lord, even now that you would work in people's hearts and minds to protect those. Please, Lord, I pray you, be one of our number. Be present with us this morning. Just touch each one of us at the point of our need. Provide our needs. Provision us, Lord. Take and use this time as a time of sharpening and encouraging. And we pray, Lord, this morning for our brothers and sisters. Think especially on Stan and Karen and the folks up in Bangor. And for the Bissetts, for the Foxes, for the Cosgraves, for the Asquiths, for the Haynes. For the Seelys, Lord. For the Smiths and the Snows, for the Kennedys, and Lord, for the Isaacsons. We pray you for these souls, and Lord, not just for these, for all the men and women that stand to preach and teach the full counsel of your word, Lord. I pray you, please, that they would be inspired, and that the ears of those that are being ministered to would be opened in the hearts and minds too. Bless us now, Father, as we lift up your praises, as we read your word, as we teach and preach. And we ask it all, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. And we're not forgetting those that can't be here. For Ling and Frank, for Will, for Christine. We pray also, Lord, for Stephen and John and Carol. For Esther, for Pat and Steve. And for Maslam and Georgina, Lord. For our Maboy Road Church members, for Alan Leslie. And for Pearl, Lord. And I want to pray especially for the Cardwell family and the Cairns family at this time too. We just love you and thank you, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Big hymn books, if you would. Hymn number 23. Power and the Blood. Hymn number 23.
Service for Jesus.
Say we're all under 21 today, but we're working back from 23. If only we were all under 21, I reckon even Christy wouldn't mind having a few extra years under his belt. Number three, we haven't sung this one for a while. Number three, Jesus paid it all.
Is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience deceived a just competence of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect the great salvation which as the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also hearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, wherein that he put in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him to whom are all things, that by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he has sanctified, and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, this is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behoved him to make things like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Wherein that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Amen.
That verse in Hebrews 2 verse 3 where it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Amen. Thank you for that, Norman. That was Brother Steve's suggestion for our Bible reading. We appreciate them. Just want to remind you, I know there's only two other of us families wise here today, but if you could put your name in that wee card, we will drop that down as the church card. And if you want to fill in other people's names as well, you can do that. As long as it's folks from the church. I don't know when Ling will be back. I think things are going rightly for Frank. He had an interview for Morgan Stanley. What was the previous place he worked with? J.P. Morgan. So he's jumping ship over in England, for whatever that means. So please do continue to pray for him. And for Frank's dad, Dr. Shang. We miss Will this morning. Do continue to pray for his cousin William and Rachel and their own wee girl Lily Ann, and they have sort of semi-adopted a nephew, Aaron. Please do pray for him. Do continue to pray for Leonard, for Esther, for Pat and Steve, and of course for John and Carol and Stephen at this time too. For all the folks in Maboy Road, and don't forget to think about each other. I don't know about you, there's plenty going on. I would appreciate your prayers for whatever this cold is, that no different to any other time. I seem to get it in dribs and drabs instead of all together, but I would appreciate your prayers there and for my own continued recovery. For all the stuff that's going on in the world, do pray especially for America. I don't know if anybody here remembers that years ago they used to say, if it's happened in America, 10 years later it'll happen here. If it's happened in America, it'll be 10 minutes or 10 hours later it'll happen here. There's a lot going on in America. Please do pray for the leaders there and, of course, the leaders here, because there seems to be a lot of bleed between here and there with bad things, sadly. Please do pray for our own leaders. There was a day not that very long ago we used to be able to say, in probably the most conservative place in the world with no gay marriage and no abortion, but we were, in quotes, given that gift by our lords on the mainland. Sounds a bit like the old days. Please do pray for our leaders. It always beats me how easily these things are introduced, but how quickly they take root and how hard they are to get out again. Please do pray about that. Amen. Don't forget to pray for Taylor Roth and her mom and dad, Terry and Lisa, for their salvation. And you may have heard a pastor by the name of Phil Seeley mentioned from time to time. He is the new pastor that took over in Grace Bible over Monica's dad's old church when their other pastor just up sticks and away and left them high and dry, Tom Isaacson. Just pray for him. He's a bad boy that needs a good toe up the backside, and just pray the Lord will sort him out. But seemingly he has done this before. But he put a good game face on and he pulled the wool over everybody's eyes and he did his best to destroy a church. So please do pray for him. Please do pray for Phil Seeley and his family and for all the folks at Grace Bible. We appreciate your prayers for family and friends. Do be much in prayer. It says it's mighty unto God to the pulling down of strongholds. So, amen. I think that's about that. Brother Christy, would you pray for us? And then we'll sing another song. Thank you, brother.
Father, we are thankful for this day, Lord, for this church service, Lord, that you bless it, Lord. Continue to bless it, Lord. Thank all those that couldn't be here this morning, Lord, for those that are sick and cast down, Lord, for touch a healing, Lord, for Pat and Steve, especially in your family this morning, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, them, please, Lord, in the wake of Edward's passing, Lord, too. Lord, be with Leonard and the careful, Lord, for none of her infection, Lord, for Lang and Dr. Shine, who are probably still shielding, Lord, from being in contact with COVID, Lord, and for the McMahon family as well, that you draw them out too. Lord, pray especially for the preacher for his head cold, Lord, this morning, that you would, Lord, give him, Lord, a break from that, the sorrow, Lord, or whatever amount of time it is, Lord, for him to proclaim your word. Lord, that you would honor your word this morning, bless the message that you have laid upon his heart as he delivers it, Lord, that you would work in each of our hearts here this morning too, please. Remember the private prayer requests of your children, Lord, that you intervene and provision in each situation. And Lord, just show yourself to be working for us and with us, Lord, please. And we thank you for how you have worked for us and with us today, Lord. Lord, remember our country's leaders, Lord, please, that common sense prevail. We pray, Lord, as you took victory over the cage in this city, Lord, take victory over, Lord, the abortion and the
abortion
laws too, please. Thank you for all that you do, Lord, for salvation this morning, Lord, for the comfort of the Holy Spirit, Lord, for the teaching that he gives us, Lord, and remembrance as well. Bless us, Lord, be with us here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's take our hymn books again, and we'll sing another song. This time it will be hymn number 21. Hymn number 21 in the big books, What a Wonderful Savior. That sounds good.
Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior! We are redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonderful
Books away this morning, and turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, and we're going to start. Reading at verse number 16 in John chapter 16. It is a bit strange whenever the room is a little bit empty. But we're also, please, bearing in mind that we're taking part not in a service right now, but one on Facebook and one on the internet and one on a CD that is going through people's doors. So the prayers, they're still very, very important. The attention is still very, very important. And the spirit is still very, very important. So please bear with us for just a little while. John chapter 16, beginning at verse number 16. And the word of God says, "A little while and ye shall not see me. And again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of his disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us? A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father." And they said therefore, "What is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, "Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while and ye shall see me, and again a little while and ye shall not see? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And at that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out of God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. And his disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure and that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Verse number 25 is our text this morning. And I was going to say nearly verse 31 as our title, where the Lord says, Now do you believe? But I would like for the title for the message to be, Now do you see? Now do you see? Amen. Let's have another word of prayer and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for all your many helps and blessings, for each of the souls that's here today and for each soul that is listening to the message this morning. Lord, please help us. The days are getting darker and darker spiritually. Well, and physically too, Lord. And I know the day of your return is getting closer and closer. And I pray you, Lord, please, for souls still to be saved. You know, Lord, that if things keep going the same and if our, things will never change. Lord, I pray you for wisdom for each one of your children, for each one of us. Father, to say and do the right thing and to be in the right place at the right time to point souls to the foot of the cross. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. Be with Carol and Harry and Marie, Stephen and Anne Marie, Norman and Noel and Joan, for Jane and Corey, for Henry and Evelyn, for Graham, Lord, for Sally and Kate Cairns, Lord. Please be with these souls, also Pearl and Alan. And for anybody else that listens, Lord, please help us to be a help and not a hindrance, especially in these dark days. We love you and thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I thank you for the message and for the words. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would be with us at this time. Amen. All right. Now do you see? That is the message. Title, the verse that we're looking at is verse number 25, where the Lord said, These things I've spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. In my Bible, it's a red letter edition. All of the words of Jesus Christ are in red, and if you flick back and forwards in my Bible, there's nearly whole chapters before and after, not so many after, but certainly before, that are full of red letters, which means this portion of God's Word, this portion of John, is pretty much all quoted from the Lord God Almighty, made flesh and walking amongst us. And at this particular point in the Lord's ministry, he is speaking to the disciples of things that are going to happen. Now, I know that our English has changed a lot since the days that the King James Bible was written in. In fact, if you saw the old King James Bible, you might be hard pushed to tell the difference between some F's and S's, because they even looked the same, huge big scrolling letters and things like that. But even to go back about 100 years to the time machine, I was going to say Arthur C. Clarke's, but it wasn't Arthur C. Clarke. Who was it that wrote the time machine? Wells. H.G. Wells, there you go, my head's away. But even just to read those, I remember reading one just for the crack, to see the difference between the English that's used in that and the English that we use today. And the sentences that we use today are pretty much very, goodness, fractionally sized compared to the sentences that used to be used even 100 years ago. But compared to the English at use in the Bible, some of the sentences go on for maybe half of a page. There are semicolons and colons, and sometimes it's hard to follow that. And so as we were reading here, we see that for by even the language, some of the Lord's disciples were having just a little bit of a hard time understanding what he was talking about. And I want for you to bear in mind our text this morning, where the Word of God says, "The time cometh when I shall no more speak to you," in Proverbs. And I want for you to bear that in mind as we read this. That would be like somebody telling you about something that's going to happen and you not quite being able to put your finger on it, but looking back at it, you see, that's what that meant. And the Lord was explaining to the disciples about his having to go. He was saying to the disciples, "Look, I'm going to have to go, but I am going to be coming back. The world is going to rejoice when I go, and you're all going to weep and lament. But whenever I come back, your joy will be made full." And I think the world has been weeping and lamenting ever since, and doing its uttermost to stop the Word of God being preached. And yet they were trying to figure out, what is he talking about? Surely this is the Messiah. This is the man that has come to set the children of Israel free. And yet the Lord said, in verse number 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you, it is better for you that I go. So that the Comforter, if I go not away," the Lord said, "the Comforter won't come. But if I depart, he will come unto you." And I am sure they were probably still wondering, what are you talking about? They didn't know that the Word of God in the flesh was making provision for the Spirit of God to dwell with each and every person anywhere in the world that accepted Christ as their Savior. He was going on to say, and he gave many examples in his ministry here on earth of the times that he spoke to God. Do you remember as he stood outside of Lazarus's tomb and he says, "Father, I'm saying these things so that they know it's you that does them. Not that it's me, that it's you, that there is a Father in heaven who answers prayers." And of course, whenever the Lord called Lazarus out of the tomb, many more people believed on God Almighty because of that resurrection, of that bringing back to life. Now, we do know that this sort of talking by Jesus upset the disciples and confused them a little bit, but we know it did upset them. And we know from earlier on that Peter said, "Lord, this be far from you." And Jesus said to him, "Get thee hence from me, Satan, for you don't think about the things of God. You're only thinking about the things of men. You're thinking about someone dying and going away and missing them. You're not seeing the big picture, the payment for the sins of every single creature, for every single man, woman and child. You're not seeing that and the very real need for it." And that is why it says a number of times in the Word of God about how his thoughts and his ways are far above ours, because he sees the big picture. And this did upset them, and it confused them. Because during the course of Christ's ministry, he raised the dead to life a number of times. There was Jairus' daughter, the widow woman's son. There was Lazarus. There were people made to be blind, that were blind, were made to see. Blind Bartimaeus. There was the lame were made to walk. Do you remember whenever the angel came down and troubled the waters, the first person in was sorted out? The deaf were made to hear. Demons were cast out. Thousands were fed. The weather was controlled. Animals were instructed and obeyed. All of this stuff. Words of wisdom and comfort, strength, prophecy. All of these things were standard fare for the apostles. The Lord was always in the right place at the right time. Remember the woman at the well? Do you remember the demoniac of Gadara, the widow woman's son that Jesus just happened to be passing by the funeral? The woman with the issue of blood that just happened to be in the crowd whenever Jesus was going to see Jairus' daughter and raise her from the dead? He was always in the right place at the right time. Things happened. Always the right words. Always ready to lift up the downcast and the brokenhearted, and always ready to oppose the wicked, the detractors, the critics and the troublemakers. So what does he mean whenever we're going to be sad and the world will be joyful? Of course, he goes on to say that he is going to the Father. And maybe they were just thinking that he was going to go to the Father like any ordinary man in the fullness of time after a long and productive life. That is not what he meant. Even in verse number 29, when men claim to understand God, more often than not, there is an awful lot more going on than we could ever imagine. He still didn't quite get it. What does he mean we'll be able to talk straight to God? Why would we be scattered? These men and the women that ministered to Jesus Christ, we have something that they hadn't. We have the benefit of being able to turn a page and see what happens days and weeks and months later. And they didn't have that. And not even days and weeks and months, but the benefit of 2,000 years nearly of history. That we can see Christ's prophecies coming true. And we know that just by flipping over a couple of pages, we see the fulfillment of scriptural prophecy. How that many thousands of years previous even to this, that as God spoke to Abraham and said that he would bless all the families in the world, the disciples didn't know that that was going to mean the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that was going to bring salvation to all men. They didn't know that, but we can. He came to bring the comfort and the power and the blessings of God to all men, not just a handful of people in Jerusalem and Israel. He came to bring salvation to all men through Christ alone and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He came to break the chains of bondage. What did he say? When I set you free, he said, you'll be free indeed. And I'm paraphrasing there a little bit. No matter what the world, the flesh and the devil try to bind men with, the Lord can set a soul free. With the benefit of 2,000 years of looking back down through history, of being reminded about it a page or two at a time as we read the words of the scriptures, we see the prophecies of the temple being torn down. That happened just about 30 years after Christ and his disciples walked through. We see, with the benefit of millennia of technical advantages, a world where anyone can see, well, anything anywhere can be seen by anyone, everyone, everywhere. Goodness, that's a bit of a mouthful. Remember when the Lord said, when he comes back, every eye will see him? It used to be you couldn't see past the horizon, but now we can see out into space. With the benefit of these 2,000 years of history, we can see now a world where if Christ didn't come back, everyone would be dead. And that has only been possible in the past few decades. And we, even with the technical ability to do all these things, we would have thought, surely people wouldn't be that wicked. They wouldn't be that backwards. They wouldn't be that bent on destruction. But whenever we see countries like North Korea, where one man rules like a god and treats the rest of the people in that country like dirt, we can understand that, yes, if Jesus didn't come back, no flesh would be saved. When we see, even in our own countries, people behaving like maniacs, and not just people in the streets, I'm talking about people that walk the corridors of power, We can see that, yes, we do indeed live in a world where it wouldn't have to take very many more steps in the wrong direction before, if Jesus didn't come back, everybody would be dead. With the benefits of 2,000 years of hindsight, we have seen Israel restored to the world. We have seen a world where even in the freest so-called Christian countries in the world, that the men that stand behind the pulpits are in effect nothing but traitors, refusing to tell people about the great power of God to save souls. They look the part and sound the part, but they don't speak the words of eternal life. We see a world where most people believe that the sun rises and sets on every single whim that passes through their minds, in full sad fulfillment of the prophecies about the state of man in 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Peter 3, where people are just proud and covetous and boasters and self-centered and mockers of all that are good. We see that. That is the way most people are going today, and the world is set. It is set on destroying people. We see a world that thinks evil is good. I am sure when the word of God was written, when Isaiah was inspired by God to write chapters 4 and chapters 5, when he talked about woe unto them that join house to house, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good and give sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet, I am sure people, ordinary people that knew the value of a day's work, that had to go out and look after a flock, a vegetable garden, that had to mend clothes, that had to spend the day preparing food and looking after their children and telling them what was what. I am sure these souls that knew and depended on and proved what was good and what was bad every single day of their lives could not fathom a time when people would call evil good and good evil. But here we are. I remember years ago sitting at a tea table. I missed my tea break because I was in the middle of doing something, fixing something, writing something, sorting somebody else out that was on a different tea break to me. And I went up for my tea break. And I was sitting with some of the office girls that were taking a tea break, knew them all, and they were chatting away, and they were talking about getting their fortunes told and getting their tea leaves read and their palms read. And they were all into it until I arrived and asked, and then the conversation died off, because it was okay to talk about paganism and devil worship and divination and all of those things. But as soon as the Christian sits down, the conversation gets very awkward. But certainly don't want to talk about God and the saving of souls. Isn't it funny how just about every single national newspaper has a column or two devoted to the horoscopes? But there isn't a column or two devoted to preaching the gospel. We have TV stations across the border, RTE1, RTE2, that are more than happy to advertise tarot card reading. It's just fortune telling. But I think the TV stations would burst into flames if they started preaching the gospel. They claim St. Patrick as the patron saint of Northern Ireland, but don't realise he was the one of the biggest head the balls for Jesus Christ that this world has ever seen. So much so that they have a whole day dedicated to him. And yet they worship him as an excuse to party and drink. When we think that it is good to kill our unborn children, and we think it is good to promote the very thing that would destroy every single family value in this world, the LGBT movement, you know that God knew what was going to happen. When good is evil spoken of, and when even ministers will say that they have the greatest trouble with born-agains, and that was what a Methodist minister said to me, a Methodist minister's wife. Because they remind us of our sin and the fact that we're not doing it right. So therefore, we're troublemakers. With the benefit of hindsight, we can see the mark of the beast is not only available, it's available right now to anybody that wants it. I remember a quote from, was it the United Nations or the EU, I can't recall, where they had a seat left, and I'm not even going to say it was seat 666, I don't even know. There was a seat left for the ruler, for the man, and they said, give us someone, whether he be a man or a devil, if he can bring peace, and we will follow him. And it's very easy to simulate the bringing of peace when all that you're doing is taking away the strife you introduced in the first place. The world is quite literally to set the devil at the head of it. The world has been prepared. And it has been being prepared since the Lord went away. The devil has been working so very, very hard to turn folks from Jesus, to introduce counterfeit, powerless Bibles, to put traitors in the pulpit, to put women in the pulpit. And I'm not against women. But the Bible says a preacher and a deacon should be the husband of one wife. And I don't mean a lesbian that dresses like a man. I mean a man who's prepared to stand up and say the things that need to be said. So what do we get? We get to the point where we are now. We get a world that is on the precipice of divine global judgment. The Bible says this is what's going to happen, and all you got to do is read about 11 chapters in the book of Revelation, chapters 6 through 16. What, 11 chapters of the Bible? Friends, it reads like one of Hollywood's greatest disaster movies. Read it, you'll be through it before you even know. A world that'll soon get what it wants. No more Christians to point the finger and remind people that they're wrong. No more conviction of the Holy Spirit. But thankfully, 144,000 Paul the Apostles to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel to anybody that will listen. And there will be some that listen. A world that's soon going to learn that they're wrong and God's right. But a world full of individuals that God loves and Christ died for, each one. And each one needs to repent and trust Christ as their Savior. And a world with a handful of saved folks. Because compared to the full population of the world, there are only a few that love the Lord. There are only a few still yet of those that will ever be bothered to reach out to lost souls. So what does it all mean? Well, it really boils down to this. With the benefit of hindsight, with 2,000 years since these words were written, 2,000 years since Jesus Christ walked amongst us and proved by many infallible proofs that he is the Word of God. One of his titles is, I am. I was just reading on just a chapter or two in John where the Lord is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he hears the soldiers coming from him. And they say, are you Jesus? And he says, I am. He pronounces his name. And they all fall backwards to the ground. Jesus was not God. He is always God. With the benefit of 2,000 years of looking at the Word of God, and I can guarantee you there are people in this world that hate God, that are looking at every opportunity to point the finger and say that never happened. There are. There are many people that have done that and have come to God Having to say hand and heart, I set out to destroy your prophecies. I set out to destroy people's faith. And I found you. And I could not deny you. That's what many scholars, many writers, many heretics have set out to do. But what have we set out to do? We have this Word of God that has been divinely preserved. We have our news broadcasts today that have no compunction about showing the worst of mankind and broadcasting it far and wide. And we can see that even at their very worst, all that they do is prove the Word of God to be true. We see our technology, we see Israel, we see the state of man, we see the very sad state of churches. There are reasons why some people aren't here today, but for others there's no reason whatsoever. We see the sad state. Because of iniquity, the love of many will grow cold, because sin is countenanced in our lives. We are not going to stand up for Jesus. That's just the way it is. Sin and Jesus don't live well together in the same head. So the question is, do you see it? Do you see that God is not done working in this world? Do you see that if you're here to see it, if you're alive to hear it, you are not done working in this world either? Do you see where the gaps are in your Christian education? Do you see where the opportunities are in your Christian life? Are you prepared to stand on the solid rock and to serve the King of Kings, to be a good child of God, to take the benefit of every promise, every blessing, to you and the Holy Spirit working together, to open your mouth and let God fill it, to trust in what He has said He will do for you, even if the whole world says, you do that and we'll chase you down and we'll hunt you down? Can you see it? Can you see? What did Jesus say? I will show you plainly of the Father. They couldn't see all this. Do you know that the things that we spoke about, that they even knew, they couldn't understand? But Jesus has showed us plainly of the Father. So what do we do? Do we just let it be? Do we just hope and pray that it's part of our spectator sport Christian life, somebody down there in the pitch will hit the ball in the right direction and score a goal? Or do we pull on our running shoes and get down there and join in and add an extra team member to the team that's fighting for God? Or do we talk to someone on the opposing team and get them to change jerseys? There's always something that we could be doing, even if it's only offering up, calling out a name in prayer in the halls of heaven. We live in very, very dark days. Very dark days. For by even the fact that I woke up at, I think it was like 6:30 this morning, and it was pitch black outside, and I thought, are we in the winter already? My goodness. We live in spiritually dark days. We live in educationally dark days. And the only person that ever promised a clear way and sure-footing through that was Jesus, the light of the world. And whenever you shine Jesus Christ on anything, He'll show you the truth of it. So my question is, and the thing that I would like to close with, is do you see now? I might not have explained everything very clearly, but you know what? Just like a little flashlight, that gets shone on the things that you need to know or you're interested in. Jesus will do that for you if you let him. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. And we'll sing a song and we'll say a prayer and then we will be dismissed. Our last song of the morning is hymn number 12, Blessed the Deep. If you're able, let's stand as we sing hymn number 12.
Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, sings now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, blind and
again for your good time. God bless you. Pray you a good Lord's Day. Doors will be open at about 6:45 this evening and the same on Wednesday. Amen. Christy, would you pray first and dismiss the meeting, please, if you would.
Lord, again, we thank you for this day, for meeting with us, Lord, for the word spoken, Lord, for the message, Lord. We thank you for your word, for Lord, how you keep, Lord, showing us things in your word as well and working with us. Thank you for not being done with us, Lord. Watch over our brethren, Lord, protect them from the works of the devil today. Lord, just minister to their needs. Spirits of the Lord, for those that couldn't be here, we pray. Comfort those that are grieving, Lord, the absence of a loved one, Lord. We think of Pat and Steve, Lord,
yes, Lord.
And the Ritchie family as well, Lord, for Norman and for Kate Cairns as well, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Save those in our family, Lord, who are not yet saved, Lord. We pray that you'd use us, Lord, to reach them, Lord, and those and amongst our acquaintances as well, Lord, that you'd help us to be that example that they need. Guide and lead us in your will, Lord, we pray, Lord. Just come quickly as well, we ask, Lord, solve every problem that we have. Thank you for, Lord, working with us, Lord, and just your patience with us as well. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. I was going to say shake hands, tap toes, hit elbows, all that good stuff. Amen.